Let's look at 27. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jump down to verse 50. And when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. This evening, for a little bit, we're going to look at the sacrifice of Jesus and try to, understand exactly what it was like. And don't get me wrong, we'll never be able to fully comprehend what it was like. But what we're going to look at tonight is, yes, he suffered physically. There was a lot of turmoil and pain, things that you could not bear physically. But that is not what hurt Jesus the most. What hurt Jesus the most is when he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Turn to Isaiah 53. Understand that when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the one and only time he has ever truly been alone. Alone in every sense of the word. He couldn't count on anybody being there with him. And in that moment, not even God the Father and the Holy Spirit themselves were with Jesus Christ on that day. When he cried out, he was truly alone. God had forsaken him. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jumped up to verse 7. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. One thing you have to understand, what made Jesus cry out that day was his father being separated from him. He took the beatings quietly. He took the accusations quietly. He said he was as a sheep before his shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. You want to know when Jesus Christ cried out of the pain? It wasn't when he was getting beat. It wasn't when the nails were going through his hands. It was when his father left him. To understand that, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Turn to John chapter 10. We just read that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. When we think about that word one, Brother Cooper has spent weeks going over that same verse over and over, trying to get into our heads the understanding of what that one meant, that unity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that Trinity had. It's not just, yeah, we're close. It's not just, yeah, I really like that person. It's not just, I love them. It's, they are a part of me. I am them and they are me. John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I give to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. When Jesus Christ says that him and the Father, him and God was one, it wasn't closeness. It was as close and as together as you can be without being the same person. Understand, they are not one person that manifests themselves in three different personalities or anything like that. That's completely contrary to what the Bible says. Excuse me. Read the Bible and you'll understand that that's not true. What it is, though, they are equal. They are all God. They are all together the same person in a different way. You can't understand it fully. I hope one day that when I get to see God, I fully understand that, because right now it hurts my brain to understand about that. But just understand, we can't fathom the closeness that God had together. So we can't fully fathom what it was like when Jesus Christ said, why hast thou forsaken me? God, from forever, was separated for that time. Turn to Romans chapter 3. And it's bad enough, you think about that. He went through all that, and then understand, he went through all that for us. He went through all that not because he had to, because he chose to make that sacrifice. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it wasn't some idea, oh, we got to get there eventually. It was planned from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 calls him the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world happened, they had an idea of what was going to come. When God was in eternity, just doing whatever God did in eternity, they sat there and figured out, you know what? We're going to create mankind, and we're going to have to make a plan for them. We're going to have to figure out who does what. And in those moments, they set up their order and how they were going to do things. And they set up and made the decision that Jesus Christ was going to be the one to go and die on the cross. That he was going to be the one that had to be alone for forever. Understand that the Father and the Holy Spirit, they suffered on that day too. They lost connection with their other person, Jesus Christ. But they still had each other. Jesus Christ was alone. We don't understand what alone truly means. Even in our most alone parts. When, you know, I've had moments where I was alone. I had no one around me. No one was there. I couldn't talk to anybody. You know who I still had? I still had God on my side. I could still pray to God. You know what Jesus had to do? He cried out to God. God was not hearing him. He was gone from him. Do we understand how amazing it was that that one moment happened? And then go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you, Brother Trent. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth the garment." Understand in verse 8, God the Father is talking to Jesus and says, "Thy throne, O God." Jesus Christ is God. He's not, he was God. He's not, he used to be God. He is God. And when he died on the cross, he was God when he died. You go read verse 10. "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand." You go read John 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." When earth was created, Jesus Christ was there. He was a part of this creation. Understand that Jesus Christ humbled himself and let his own creation take his life.
Right.
He let his own creation, the little beings that we are, take his life from him. Or no, let me rephrase that. Get him as close as possible till he gave his life for us. You realize how much humility it took? How embarrassing it was for God to sit there and suffer through all that? Just to know, I'm going to be separated from my Father forever. Do we understand that sacrifice? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth and things in heaven and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Understand, Jesus Christ humbled himself. He became a man. He became the... Well, turn to Psalm. Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to be a dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Understand, when we think about who mankind is, I love this verse. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? You know, we're going to read a verse in a little bit. Psalm 103, just turn there now. Psalm 103, verse 4. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. You realize you are nothing but dust. That's what it says. You are dust. Your life is here and gone tomorrow. Understand that for you, you piece of dust, Jesus Christ left eternity forever, took on the form of man, made himself as low as he could possibly be, lower than the angels, became a man, suffered through everything and a man could suffer to be separated from God forever for you. Understand, he didn't do that because he got something special. He did it out of pure love. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. That is what true love is. When you want to think about love, how do I know what love is? Look at what Jesus Christ did and understand that is what true love is. That is what the ultimate love of God is, that he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Understand, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when he had baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have another example later on at the Mount of Transfiguration. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Listen to how God the Father on the throne of heaven talks about Jesus Christ. And you'll go look at what he was treated like by everybody else on this earth. I mean, think about it. How angry would we be? How hateful would we be? People that we created, that we are the God, we are the reason they have life. How dare they treat me like that? How dare they look at me like that? How dare they throw me down on the ground and beat me and try to kill me and hate me and all these things? You know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I look at myself, if my son Malachi ever started walking around thinking he was better than me, I'm going to show him who's really the best. You know what Jesus did? No. He sacrificed. One day he will stand up and they will truly know who Jesus Christ is. He will wipe them off the face of this earth. But how many of us will be saved because of his love for us? How many of us, turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us deserve to face the wrath of God, to face the destruction, torments, the destruction, and just anger poured out of God? And how many of us will not even have to see it, won't even have to be a part of it? I think about this. You know what's going to happen when God is pouring his wrath on the lost and those that are in this world? There's going to be a celebration in heaven. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be peace. There's going to be excitement. You know, I don't ever have to face the wrath of God because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Because of that moment when he said, Father, into my hand I commend my spirit. When he sat there and he went through every single thing. When he lived his life, when he made Adam and Eve, and the first time that they sinned, he killed those goats and made those skins. I don't know if they were goats or not. I'm not going to take that out of my brain here. He took those coats of skin and covered them. He knew exactly what that led to. Turn to Genesis 22. This was not just something that God came up with in a moment. He sat there through all the lifespan of man, everything that he did. He knew we're just one day closer to this, one day closer to that moment, one day closer. How many of us knew the most terrible thing was going to happen in our life? And we knew, imagine the suffering, just one day closer, just one day closer. I know exactly when it's going to be, one day closer. Genesis 22, And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his knife and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Understand, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He's not talking metaphorically. He is talking literally. God will become a lamb to sacrifice for us. I mean, you think about it. Abraham, he was ready and willing to kill his son. The knife was going into Isaac. Abraham got to stop. He didn't have to kill his son. God the Father didn't get a chance to stop. He had to let his son die. How many of you would just sit back and let your child die? The most horrible death, knowing he could have been avoided. If I call now and send 10 legions of angels, Jesus Christ could have done that. The Father could have said, nope, we're stopping this. I don't want to do that. How many of us would just absolutely, nothing's going to let that. I will never let my child get that kind of harmed. Jesus Christ and the Father looked at that and said, yep, let's do it. Before the foundation of the world, he said, let's do it. Understand that he was ruined for eternity. Turn to Luke. Sorry, John chapter 20. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands, or see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, then his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Those scars that Jesus has, they will be on him for eternity. In eternity, when we are in heaven and all this earth has passed away, you know it's still going to be evident? Jesus Christ is still going to have those scars in his hands. He's still going to know about the day that his life changed forever. And we'll look at that and be thankful that he let that day happen. That he has those scars, because without those scars, you don't have salvation. You think about it, you, without Jesus Christ's sacrifice, you have no hope, you have no life, you have nothing but torments to look forward to. Jesus Christ lived his torments, we get to get past ours. We get to think and look to heaven and think, I can't wait to not have the worst day of my life. There are going to be people who the worst day of their life is never ending because they get cast into the lake of fire. My worst day of my life will never happen. Anything that happens in this life, it is not that bad compared to what's there in eternity. Yeah. Only reason I have that is because of Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jump down to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Understand, Jesus Christ's blood bought your soul for eternity. You can never lose your salvation. How amazing is that thought right there? I will never lose my salvation. I cannot imagine living a life where I was going to lose my salvation. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go through all this, and I'm going to give this to you permanently, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, without end. That is what Jesus Christ bought. That is what he sacrificed for. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was thinking of your soul right here and now. Do you understand that? In those moments, I would be thinking about everything that I wish I could do to somebody else. The anger, the sadness, the fear. You know what he was thinking about? Not of himself, but of everyone else. Everyone who had went before him. All those people who had believed him from Adam all the way through up until to the thief on the cross that accepted him. From then to everybody ever since then. 6,000 years worth of people, Jesus Christ was thinking about on that cross. Lost friend, he was thinking about you on that cross when he died on the cross. He was thinking about you when he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that is the reason why. Because of you. Understand that when the father had to sit there and listen to his son scream out, cry with a loud voice, that wasn't just some quiet thing in his whisper. Cried out with a loud voice, in pain, in agony. The father had to listen to that and think, because of Jared Moore, I have forsaken you. Because of you right here and now, Jesus Christ was forsaken of the Father. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 26. We need to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. It should stick in your brain all the time. Every single day, you should take a moment and think about when Jesus Christ died on the cross and just think about, he didn't have to do that, and yet he did it for me. If you are saved, think about that day and go back and say, thank you, God, for doing that. If you're lost, think about that day and hope and pray that God will save your soul right then and there. Because that is the reason why he did it. Jesus Christ never, ever, ever had any plans to send anybody to hell. He did everything he possibly could to keep you from going to hell. So if you go to hell, understand you wasted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You said, you looked and saw what he said and what he did in that moment and said, it's not good enough. I don't want it. How many of us would just love to tell Jesus, I don't want you. Not good enough for me. That is what you're doing right now if you're lost and rejecting Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We have the Lord's Supper. We take it every once in a while. And you think about the body that was broken, the blood. You realize that when we drink this new with him in the Father's kingdom, when we drink this in eternity, we'll sit there and think, and he will still have those scars. It will be as real as it possibly could be to us. The disciples, they sat there and they went through this. They didn't fully understand what was going to happen. They thought, oh, that's cool. Can't wait till the next day we get to do this. Can't wait for a few more years. Can't wait till we live the rest of your life and I see you for the next 30 years. They had no idea exactly how bad it was going to be when Jesus Christ died on the cross. You want to know how you know that? They all said, we will never leave thee. I won't do it. Guess what? His own disciples forsook him. Everybody on this earth, everybody outside of this earth, everybody forsook Jesus Christ on that day. And he did it for you. Do you realize that? When was the last time you just sat there and thought about that? And just really tried to wrap your brain around what it was like for Jesus Christ on that cross? You can try your whole life. You'll never fully understand. And thank God that you'll never have to fully understand that. Thank God that he decided to do that so I don't have to. So you don't have to right here and now. But you might if you ever have to live life without Jesus Christ. Understand Revelation 17. We already talked about how he is God. He is above everything. Revelation 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the kings of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Your Revelation 1 says he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. Think of the other names, Almighty, Savior, Counselor, Redeemer. Put the name in and understand Jesus Christ is all those things and still your sacrifice. He is as great as could possibly be. He became nothing for us. And how often do I walk around every single day with that knowledge and think, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I got saved. Oh, well, I got it done. I don't need to think about that anymore. That is a sad state to be in if that's how we treat God. But when was the last time you sat there and said, thank you? Oh, I did it during the Lord's Supper. That's four times a year. If you are only thanking God four times a year, that is sad. It should be more often than that. It should be every single day. And then not only thanking him, telling others about him. Jesus Christ did not just die to save your soul. He did not just die to save the souls of the people that are in this building and think, as long as everybody here gets saved, that's good enough. He died for the whole world. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody in this world? The people that you might hate, the people that you think cannot be any worse, Jesus Christ died for their soul. You have no right, no way, no anything, any reason why there should any be anybody in your life that does not know about Jesus Christ. Well, they don't deserve it. Neither did you. They're evil. So were you. They would never accept it even if I told them. Imagine if someone said that to you. I don't need to tell you. You'll never accept it. You just decided to be God. We talked about this morning. What happens when we start deciding to be God and play God? Things never work out. We should understand you are not God. God says, I died for the whole world. That means the whole world. That means just as you, as bad as anybody else could be, and the worst person in the world, Jesus Christ died for them. And I hope and pray the people that I may have not liked very much or the worst people in the world, I hope to see them in heaven one day. Do you feel that same way? No, can never do it. They're too bad. Guess what? What if Jesus Christ said, you're too bad, I'm not going to save you? What if he sat there and picked and chose and saw, you know what? I know everything that you're going to do. You're not good enough. I'm not going to save your soul. He could have. He had every right to pick and choose who he wanted to. You know what? He didn't. It's open to every single one of us. We're not Calvinists. Jesus Christ didn't pick and choose who he was going to save, and that's it. You have the opportunity. Jesus Christ preached to Judas Iscariot. You, of all people who should not be saved, Judas Iscariot is just as bad as anybody else. You know what? Jesus Christ still wanted him to be saved. He preached salvation to him over and over and over again. I had this realization a while back. The prophecies of the person that was going to portray Jesus, it just said the son of perdition. It never put a name to it. Judas didn't have to be the one that betrayed Jesus. He was, didn't have to be. Jesus Christ can save your soul, but he doesn't have to if you won't let him. Jesus Christ could have said, no, I'm not going to save your soul. But he did. Turn to Psalm 103 once again. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us as after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth it. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath appeared to his throne, or hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all his places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That should humble us a little bit to read these verses. To think, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Think about those verses. Think about all that Jesus Christ did for you. Think about the things that we've done to him. The sinners, 1 Timothy says, the sinners of whom I am chief, Paul says. Every single one of us is as worse as we could possibly be. Total depravity means you were all on the same field. We're all just as bad as the next person next to us. Jesus Christ said that, saw that. saw that every single mankind was going to hate him and reject him, and said, I want to die for you. I want to be separated from my Father forever for you. I want to break that fellowship, that oneness, that unity that cannot be comprehended with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. I want to take that, something that has been for eternity, and end it for a bunch of dust. That should humble us a little bit. But that should also make us excited and be so thankful to God that he was willing to go through that for us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Just sit there for a second and think. Where would your life be without Jesus Christ dying on that cross? Take out that one verse in Matthew 27 that we read. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where would your life be without that one verse happening? Where would your life be without Jesus Christ? Be honest with yourself. You know that the answer is hopeless, bound for hell eternally. Nothing good in your life. Nothing good in it at all. My pride might say, I'd be okay. You wouldn't. You might make it okay in life. You'll one day stand before God and be alone for forever. I get to stand before God and look at him and see my Redeemer. Job says, my Redeemer liveth. Turn to Job 19. Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You get to look at God and see your Redeemer in heaven because of that moment that he died on the cross for your sins. You look at Thomas. When he saw those fingerprints and those handprints, what did he say? My God. That is who can be your God today. The one that sacrificed and died on the cross. The one that gave up everything for you. If no one else was alive on this earth, Jesus Christ still would have died for your soul. How amazing is that? How much love is that? How great is God that he was willing to do that? Just think about that. How great is God? How much love did he have for us that were unlovable, terrible? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ endured that cross. He took that shame. He took that being despised and rejected of man. He took every beating, every hatred, every agony that you could ever think of. Took it beyond what we can comprehend in this life so that you don't have to understand what that's like. I thank God every single day that I will never have to understand what he fully felt like in that moment when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hope and pray that every single person in here right now is saved and never has to know what that's like. If you are lost, you don't have to know what that's like. You can be saved today. All you have to do is ask. He did the work. He paid the price for you to be saved. If you are saved, when was the last time you just sat down and really thought about that? And then got invigorated and excited and said, I can't wait to tell the next person I see. If you don't get excited about the death of Jesus Christ as a saved child of God, shame on you. Shame on me. That should be the most exciting thing that you ever have in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how great your life is. You know, Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl. That does not even get into the same universe, stratosphere, as the excitement that we should have about Jesus Christ. The best thing in your life is not equal to Jesus Christ dying on that cross. When was the last time we got excited about that? When was the last time it got us overjoyed to think that Jesus Christ died on the cross and right now is on the right hand of the throne of God and made the promise that if we suffer with him, we accept him and suffer with him, we get to be on a throne with him forever. Go read Revelation. That is a promise that he has given to us, that we get a new name, a new crown, a robe of white, that we get to be with God forever. He's sitting right now on the right hand of the throne of God. You can be right next to Jesus because he died on the cross. Let's stand. Pianist and song leader, come. What number shall we sing?